hopefully chair maybe this week, and next time maybe not. I didn't want to chance it this week. Just takes too much out of me. But I saw you just going away this morning. I could tell, man. When you were in the zone, you were in it. So good job, Randy. I meant to see you, but I just got caught up with some other people. But it was just nice to see something different for us during the holiday season, especially this season. We haven't done nothing like that for so long. So very good for all of you that were a part of that. TV, I want to remind you that there is a revival coming up, not here, but it is at Wayndale, and it is the week after Easter. Not Easter weekend, but the following weekend. Wayndale does this every year at that same time. Every year they do that. But are we good? Before I begin, something's been on my heart here recently, and you got your microphone on? Can you turn it on? I'm going to have you give it to somebody. So I want somebody to pray today, but I want your heart. I don't want you to pray if your heart's not. If you have a problem with other nationalities, I don't want you to be the one praying today. I have a heart for people of Egypt. For some reason, when they dropped out all those guys and ISIS brought them out on the beach and cut all their heads off, I just was drawn to such Christianity as I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to turn my back on Christ, even if it cost me my life. And I said, man, that is it today. That is, I mean, that they are it. And there were 20-some. And today, if you read, there was Palm Sunday, there were two churches in Egypt that ISIS, and that's who it claims to be. You know, we had the Brother Muslim Brotherhood and all that. But anyway, two churches were blown up, and I think 34 people died, over 100 were injured because they are Christian. So I would like for someone, because even though those 34... because when you're in those kind of countries and you proclaim to be a Christian, you pretty much are a Christian. So I think heaven just got 34 new family members in there. But there are people here today that are still there going to mourn their family members. And I'm sure that church is in a pretty good, they're in a rough spot right now. Both those churches are. And they say Egypt only has 10% as Christian. Christianity is 10% in Egypt. So if somebody would pray for those families, those two churches, because there is a hatred for Christianity. And so if you don't mind praying for another nationality, our brothers and sisters in Christ, would somebody be willing to do that? And Ashley will give you the microphone.
Okay. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we come to you tonight praying specifically for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. And sometimes it's so hard to think or to imagine or even process in our minds the brutality that goes on in other countries. And being here in the United States, where we have a freedom to worship, and sometimes we just take that for granted. But we come to you tonight with humbleness of hearts. And we just pray for those people in Egypt, dear Father. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are over there, that are hurting right now, that are mourning right now, that are suffering right now. We just pray, dear Father, that you'd bring them comfort. You'd bring them peace. You would send people their way to minister to them. And let them feel your presence tonight, dear Father, that brothers and sisters all around the world, Christian brothers and sisters, are praying for them today and right now. We'll be praying for them throughout the week. And we just pray, dear Father, that they'll feel your presence, that they'll feel the power of your Holy Spirit, that this won't be a discouragement to them, but let this be a fuel to flame, to fan the flames of fire, of your fire, throughout that country, dear Father. And we pray for those that did the bombings and the persecutions, dear Father. We pray for them that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that they will see their hatred for what it is, and that they will come to know your love. And maybe through this incident, they will realize that. But we pray for the leadership of Egypt, that you would bless them. give them guidance, show them the right way, the right path that they need to take. And we just pray again, dear Father, for our brothers and sisters over there. Just hold them close in your arms tonight. Hold them close in your arms throughout the rest of this week. And again, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your love. Let them feel your might. We know that you're in control. And we know it's so hard sometimes to be a Christian. But we know that you are always there with us, no matter where we are at. That your Holy Spirit and your presence encompasses every Christian around this whole world. And we are thankful that heaven was made a little sweeter today by those 34 that went to be home to be with you. But again, we are saddened too, and we are hurt, and we are broken because of the violence and the sin that goes on in this fallen world. But we know one day you're coming back. We know one day you're going to set things right. We know one day we will all be in your presence and won't have to worry about any of this anymore. And I just pray your blessings upon the people of Egypt, dear Father. Bless them tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And just the side note that God has seen it all. The Lord has seen what happened over there. And God knows how to take care of his own. Believe me, the Word tells us that God rewards us for the things that we do upon the earth. And God's not going to let that one pass. And so God rewards his martyrs. He does. We're going to be in Psalms tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms. And we're going to start in 103. But I want to just say that, you know, sometimes we get pretty critical. How many of us can be pretty pretty critical and be pretty negative in our thought thinking, in our process of thinking? What other people are doing, we get negative of what they're doing. We see what's going on in this country. I was really kind of shocked to hear a lot of the brothers and Christian brothers, how negative they got on our country. That really, how negative and running out, buying guns. I mean, just they kept seeing the negative and didn't see the positive. You know, when Jesus was walking on the earth, those few years that we got to see him in ministry mode, Rome was at it, and Rome was tearing it up. They were in charge of everything. He never fretted over the government. Because he was here for a bigger purpose. You are here for a bigger purpose. Okay? But I've heard a lot of negativity. I'm not talking just here. I'm just out there and on the news. I don't even like watching the news anymore. I'll watch all my stuff on my phone because I don't have to hear the attitude and I don't have to hear all the extra comments because they don't like this president. They didn't like this president. They don't like the people on the right. They don't like the people on the left. And then we just get so upset about the things that are going on in our life. And I want to share with you, there's a way to step back from all that. There's a way to start looking. Because if you hang around negative people, guess who becomes negative? You do, right? We begin to jump on that bandwagon, okay? And we begin to jump on it. And then we have these little conversations. And it's about the negative things. And believe me, the negative things are going to be here. Okay? We live in a sinful world. The negative, ugly things are going to be here. We live in a new day. And we live in a new age where you don't know. You're always looking when you're going to wake up in the morning. There's going to be a bomb someplace blowing people up. And you're going to see that. But somewhere in here, we got to figure out a couple of things. So what the Christian should be different than the lost man. And how he walks in this world, the Christian should be different than how a lost person walks. Lost people, they have a lot to stress out about. They have a lot to worry about. They have a lot to be all disarrayed. But us as Christians, we do those things and we should not do them. Okay? There's a tendency we get a little stressed out from time to time. God gives us a little shove and reminds us, hey, we shouldn't do that. But when we start looking like the world and how we respond to things, I wonder why people can't tell the difference if a person is a Christian or if one is not. So I look at Psalms 103, but before we go there, there's a part in Psalms 23, you know, that great chapter 23 of Psalms. There's a part in there that says, "My cup runneth over." We're going to come back to that, okay? But we're going to talk about some of these things about, well, what does it mean, "My cup runneth over"? What does it mean, "My cup runs over"? Okay? So we're going to come back to that, all right? So, in Psalms 103, we come to this place, and we're going to go through this, and we're going to start in verse 1. That's a little bit different, but verse 1, okay? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And we're going to come back to that as well, because when we just read that, we're like, bless the Lord. No, no. But let's find out why, okay? Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Do you know that there is a benefit in following Jesus Christ? There's a lot of benefits in following Jesus. So when I get down and out, I start thinking about His benefits. Not everybody here, most of us have a job, some of us don't have a job, but when you get a job, you get benefits. Not much today, okay? But some people get different benefits. Some people get 2 weeks vacation. Some people don't get none. Some people get 5 weeks vacation. Some people get medical. Some people don't. Some people get this. Some people don't get what they get. But benefits. I think God loves to give out His benefits. We're going to find out right here that a lot of the benefits are the same. And then there's other benefits that are different that He gives to you, that He gives to me, that He gives to you. But there are some things that he just gives it all together. And I love 103 because it begins to explain some of those benefits. Because sometimes in my walk with Christ, I get so busy with ministry, I want to do the things with my family, and something happens, I get a bump in the road, and I get all distracted. And then you remember, wait a minute. Let me look at my benefits. All right. Because a benefit is good only if you use it. So we're going to try and figure out how to use some of these benefits. All right, so verse 3. Back in verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He thanks Him and he says, forget not all His benefits. Verse 3. "Who forgives all our iniquities," your iniquities. We're going to pick this up a little bit, so we're going to move on. We're going to come back up to that one in just a few minutes. "And who heals all your diseases." Now, we stumble on healing. We do. Baptists, we stumble on healing. Christians, we stumble on healing. I'm not talking about that walking in line, slapping people in the head. I'm not talking about that kind of healing. There are times, some of the greatest healings that Jesus did was behind closed doors. Remember the young girl that they all said it was dead, and everybody was laughing because Jesus said no, and He didn't let them come in. There's a seriousness when it comes to God's healing. God has healed more Christians than you'd ever imagine. And some of you in here are part of that. And you may not even have known. And I want to remind you that God is still in the healing business. But sometimes God will not heal you in the way that you want, so that you might be a bigger testimony to Him in the world that you live. But He is the one who heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. How much has God turned us away from that destructive road? I'm one of them. He says, "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know what? I'm filling the cup up right now. I'm just filling the cup up. Man, I got the benefits are forgive so far, heals and redeems. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I'm getting to the point, I'm beginning to understand that these kind of benefits only come from somebody that loves you. Somebody that loves you. Loving kindness. When's the last time you showed somebody loving kindness? Or anybody, if you give anybody not just mercy, but tender mercies. These are just things that God does, and He does them so well. I don't understand, though, how He does that, yet we still keep complaining. He is so patient. He is so tender, is He not? He goes down and he goes, let's go down to verse 5. Says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. His acts to the children of Israel. Here we go, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. You know why we don't experience some of those things? Because we don't use the benefit. We would rather not want God's gracious, God's grace. We would rather not want his mercies. We'd rather just complain about the problem. Because it makes us feel better. But it really don't. Because you know what happens in an argument? One side is trying to convince the other side to believe in their way, and the other side's convinced it, and you know what? That just don't work. It takes, for two people to really try to work something out, they both have to have an open heart, an open mind, an open understanding, and a respect for one another. Now, did you hear what all I said? God is all that good stuff. We still pray to God with a close heart. Because we want God to jump on our bandwagon. I've struggled with a few things lately because I've like, Lord, how can this person keep doing this? How can that person keep doing that? And I got to slow my roll down just a little bit because I'm not the judge. I'm a child just like they are. And when I get off of that road, I have a tendency to draw back to understanding what God has us here for, and I don't get off track. It's easy to get off track sometimes, but the Lord is merciful and gracious. Here he is. Here he is. Slow to anger. How many of you are fast to anger? Just wondering. How many of you are fast to anger? Because it is almost like a gift to be slow to anger. Okay? Slow to anger. Let me just put it in simple terms. We have a daddy who ain't going to blow up every time we mess up. We have a dad who's not going to scream and chastise us for every time we screw something up. Thank you, Jesus. Because he's got plenty to be angry with me about in my life. How about you? Thank God he is slow to anger. You know what? That's a benefit that I need. That's a benefit that I want. He goes and he says, abounding in mercy. Hey, do you get the clue here? I keep seeing this word mercy. Mercy. He says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, he has not dealt, oh my, here we go. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, and I am so thankful for that tonight, because I don't deserve what I have right now in my life. And that is my sins forgiven. You neither, right? But thank God, as the story is, that we know that Jesus came to die and give us that opportunity for eternal life. And when we seek that forgiveness, it is amazing. He says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. That is the compassion and the mercy that God has. I remember the two disciples wanted to, they were all upset about a town, and they asked Jesus, well, why don't we just go ahead and call down thunder and lightning and fire and all that stuff. And then another disciple wanted to when they came to arrest him, cut somebody's ear off. Though that's us. We want to call down fire and rain, and we want to take somebody out in certain ways, and God is so merciful. Even to our enemies. Because you know what? This is what I know. God's going to deal with them. But God knows when he's going to do that. But he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. That does not mean that God lets us do whatever we want. The Bible also says he disciplines those whom he loves, right? But God is patient, slow in anger, lots and lots of mercy. That does not make God weak. Having all those, that should not make us men weak. Words like tender should not make us weak. Mercy should not make us weak. Loving kindness, giving that to people, that should not make us weak. That should make us even stronger. Right? If I jump down to verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Throws them away. He doesn't remember. He doesn't bring them up. We have a mind which has a memory bank in it. Some of us feel like we're losing it from time to time, but we have a memory bank. God allows us to remember things. Here's the thing. You remember some of the sins in your life. Remember what people's done to you. That's part of your memory. But we are not to bring those back up and chastise people for those, or chastise ourselves when we do those things and bring them up in a negative peace. Listen, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you of that sin, of those things you're doing, you ask the Lord to forgive you, he says he casts as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more, why are we bringing them back up? This is why when you go to bed and you say, Lord, forgive me my sins, help me, and we do that. Give me a great day, thank you for the day, amen. Now, there's times you're going to have a short, quick prayer, but when we ask for that over, cover all sin peace, forgiveness of sin, if you know there's something in your life and you're trying to put it under that quick peace, no, you need to deal with that in the right manner. I always tell people this. You don't have to tell people what it is, but what sin is it? You know, tell God, talk to God what sin it is. And then when you ask him to forgive you, he throws it as far as east and west. And remember, and we're not to bring it up no more.
That's right.
Okay? So he says, verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. God feels you. If you are a believer in God, he says this, as a father, he's always putting this position as a father. There's times he's a judge. He's all these things, but when he talks to us so many times, he wants us to understand that he is a father. We're to obey him and love him, treat him as a father. But he says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. There is a, people say, you don't fear the Lord. No, there is a good fearing of the Lord. Sometimes I wish we had that a little bit more even here. And show reverence to the Lord. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are what? Dust. We as Americans, we think we're just smarter than the rest of the world. We think we're God's chosen people. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm just talking about the world. We think we're the chosen people of the world, which we're not. We're a blessed country. But when it comes right down to it, we have come from dust. Anything more is what God gives us. And what we've come, and what we come through in a relationship with Christ. I'm going to read just a little bit here, and there's a couple more verses I really want to get to. Verse 15, as for a man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. I want to remind you something just really quick. It just came to my mind here. I am a grandfather, and some of you are grandfathers, some of you are great-grandparents. I want to tell you, when you came to know Christ, you began to set your family up for good stuff. Now let me tell you how that works. When you come to my house, we're going to say grace. We're going to pray when we go to restaurants. And my little granddaughters, and one day I'll have a little grandson, maybe down the road, they're going to learn that we're going to pray. I taught my kids how to do that. And my sons ought to do that. They're going to teach their kids. Where does it come from? Because my father decided to go to church one day. Because he's wondering, well, who is this man Jesus all about? What is he all about? Is he real? So if you're going to be that generation that's going to turn your family around, I want to tell you, you need to put Jesus right out in the front. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed at it at all. On those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children. You're setting your family up. I like that. I like that a lot. Because there's other verses where it says the sins fall down to the generations, to the third and fourth generations from the father, right? You see that also as well. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over us. I want you all to know this tonight. There is a throne that the world will bow down to. There is a throne that rules this world and the universe. A lot of them don't believe it. A lot of them don't know anything about it. A lot of them refuse to believe it. A lot of people believe it. Regardless, there is a throne. And it rules. Nothing goes on in your life that God doesn't know. He sees everything, and he knows every thought. And I think about that. If he sees everything and knows every thought, and he allows us to do the good things for him and allows us to serve him, we ought to know that there's a lot of mercy in that, just that. Right? Aren't you glad you don't pick people like God? Aren't you glad God don't pick people like we do? We want a resume. God looks right here. It's not all about what you've done and what all you can do and all those things. God looks at the heart of a man. So he says, the Lord establishes his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. But bless the Lord, you his angels. I love it when the angels are put in there. Not that I lift them up above things, but I love to see it sometimes with angels in there because it almost grabs their attention too. Because you know, you can be doing something and just get used to it. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I wonder how much blessing that we are doing for the Lord. Psalms 23 says, my cup runneth over. Somebody wrote a song back in the days, many might remember it. It says, I'm drinking from my saucer. You don't see this a lot anymore, but unless you go to fancy restaurants or you're in somebody that's a little bit older than 50, usually when you get a cup of coffee, underneath it is a saucer. And he says, my cup runneth over. So what it is all these tender mercies and graciousness and all this loving kindness, and your cup is really getting full. But now I want to throw in a couple of things for you as well. How many of y'all have children? Isn't that a blessing from God? Amen. A little bit more in your cup, huh? How many of y'all are having grandchildren? Just a little bit more in your cup, huh? How many of y'all are married and had your husband or your wife say, I love you, hon? Just a little bit more in your cup. There you go. How many of y'all are working? No, you can work and you got a job. A little bit more in your cup. We live in a country that we aren't persecuted as being a Christian right now. There's a whole lot in our cup. How many of y'all know that you know for a fact and you can say, you know what? I mean, I got a fresh testimony just this week. A little bit more in your cup. How many of y'all have prayers answered? A little bit more in your cup. Your cup is so full, God has let it overflow. It's overflowing. Now, I'm looking at a cup, it's in front of me, and it's overflowing. Here's the thing, it's there, but if I want to drink it, I got to deal with the excess, right? So I'm kind of drinking from my saucer. I'm going to tell you something, in my heart, I don't feel like I deserve it. I don't. But I found out that my God, your God, is a God of not just mercy, but tender mercies. Mm. Yeah. That he forgives us of our sins and he casts them away as far as east from the west. And he don't remember them anymore. He doesn't keep coming up on you saying, I know what you did 2 years ago. Don't forget what I... We do that, but he doesn't. Pray for a job and he'll help you, lead you in those directions. It's so awesome that he says, I'm going to throw one more piece in there. I'm going to throw another piece in there. You can't catch it. You can't get it. But I'm going to give it to you because you're one of mine. And I just want to give it to you. It's almost like he always wants to give stuff to you. He says, by the way, all you believers, here's a spiritual gift for you. I know what's best for you. Here's a spiritual gift for you. Here's a couple spiritual gifts for you. Hey, I want to give you two spiritual gifts. And if you're great, I'm going to give you another one. Here's another spiritual gift for you. And if you use them in the right way, you never could do it on your own. It's something special. It's almost like, it's almost, besides your salvation, it's almost something like God says, I'm going to give you just a little bit of something from me, from heaven. You're going to be able to do something that you can never do in your physical sense, and how smart that you are, you can never do it. You can never do this as well as how I'm going to give it to you in a spiritual gift. I don't understand why Christians do not know their spiritual gift. It drives me crazy because that's where you excel as your Christian in your service to the Lord. If you have the gift of hospitality, man, do it because you're going to be the best at it. And God says, I choose you for hospitality. So put that in your cup. Everybody here that's a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. We can go all night filling up this cup. And God's going to keep filling the cup up. I want to let you know tonight that God loves to give. He loves to give. I don't understand it, but He just loves to keep on giving. And my cup is full tonight. And it is overflowing. And my saucer is full. So what am I supposed to do with it all? Number one, I need to start looking more about what God is doing in my life than what's going on in the world. Let me just take a little pressure off of you. God's been dealing with the world since He made it. He's put up with a lot of junk. A lot of leaders that thought they could take over and are all in the grave today. There's a few still left alive, but they're going to go to the grave today and they're all going to stand before God and give an account. Let God be God. It says His throne is in heaven. He does a great job. You and I would have blown it. I would have blown it. Folks, I wouldn't have had that slow anger. So if we're going to let God be God in heaven, okay, we're going to let Him rule the world. We're going to take that off of our shoulders, okay? I'm enough of my own problem. I need to look and see. I need to stop the negativity. Stop looking at the things that are dragging me down. Not those things are sin and those things I'm doing and causing them. I need to get with the Lord. I just need to stop those things. But if it's just the attitude of being negative and critical, and just always finding the negative in things, I challenge you to reread this and get a piece of paper and start writing what God has given to you. And tonight I was hoping to have it, but I don't feel like I can move around and do it. But start putting a drop of, just put a drop of just a little bit into a cup. I don't care if you get a cup this big. You keep going. It's going to overflow. It'll take you a couple hours. Lord, I want to thank you for my son. I want to thank you for getting me out of that mess back in 1989 or 90, wherever it was. There was an accident, and whatever it may be, you're going to fill it up. Get into the Word and find the good things of God. It's all over the place. Life is a gift given to us by God. And how dare we run around in this world, especially as a Christian, complaining about what's going on in it. I don't have a right to do that. If I'm complaining, then I need to be praying about it. I don't know about you tonight, but I love hearing about this loving kindness stuff. I love about here. This was just a little bit of what God's given to us. A whole bunch of stuff. You know, tonight I feel like He's got His ear really close to what we're doing tonight. You know why I say that? Because we're talking about Him. And He loves to give. Give, give, give. I don't understand it, but He loves to give. But any gift, If you give it, you got to receive it. You got to receive it. One of the hardest things I hear, and I'm going to close, one of the hardest things I hear from people is, you don't know what I've done. I cannot forgive myself. Listen. God sent His Son so that you would have forgiveness. To accept that gift of eternal life. When you start thinking about what you've done that you can't forgive yourself, close your eyes, take your mind all the way back to 2,000 some years and put yourself on the hill of Golgotha. And watch a man on a cross dying for you to forgive you of your sin. And if that is not enough, there's something wrong. Because God said that was enough. And it is enough. So whatever you've done that you can't forgive yourself, because that's what happens when we get so negative. We don't like the world or our life. The answer always comes back to Jesus. It's the hardest name for people to say today. And I don't know why. He has given us so much. If Jesus could walk down this aisle today, what would He say to you? What would He say to you? All of us would be on our face. But if He told you to stand up, what would you say to Him? And He asked you to speak. You know what we would do? I truly believe, I know what I would do. Jesus, I was unworthy. You give me so much. And the greatest, He wouldn't have to say anything. All I know is this. God has a great plan. It's in motion right now. And we're all part of it. Amen? I have more to be thankful for than what I had to complain about. I need to spend more of my time in praising the Lord than being negative to the Lord. We're negative to the Lord because we speak negative things to Him. But He is patient and long-suffering and slow to anger and loving tender mercies and all those awesome things. But He has a plan. Let's quit trying to get on everybody else's plan. And get on the plan He has for us, for me. So this is my challenge for you tonight. You want to get serious with God, you got to talk to God. You want to get closer to God, you got to talk to God. You want to deal with all that sin in your life, you got to talk to God. And you don't get to God unless you go through Jesus. It always comes back to Jesus. So, we have an opportunity tonight to be able to respond to whatever the Lord has put upon your heart. To come down, maybe you need to say, Lord, I can't see what's in my cup. Maybe I need to say, hey, Lord, these are 5 things, 10 things in my cup. I just want to spend a few moments and I just want to thank You for my cup. And it's overflowing tonight. Lord, take my heart and turn it from negative and criticism to the positive things that You're doing in my life. And when you can't find, you can't say them, look at them in the Word. They are there. Let's go ahead and stand for a minute. If you want me to